So I think what we'll start with, we'll start with proof number one. And no words again, just to re-emphasize that. So group one would live, you know, what is the meme as far as they are concerned. And once they are through, we'll just have a little bit of a reflection or sharing, and then we'll go group by group. So my colleagues.
So when we felt into ourselves and each of us told the rest of the group what we felt most about this purple meme was fear. And a lot of respect and unconscious, fear-driven reverence for what has always been done, what everybody else does for the tribe. So we did somebody turning away and then feeling afraid himself and coming back, and then we did a couple of indications of how we follow each other, and then how if you really try to leave the tribe, you're forcibly brought back. And we didn't show ostracism, but that's also in this case the person is forcibly brought back, fearfully complying.
So I think what would also be useful for us to do is, I mean, the whole exercise is experiential contemplation within. So if we can just take about 2 or 3 minutes and reflect for ourselves, you know, where does this purple live for us? And then we could share with our partner. And see, the whole, I mean, in my own understanding, when I've done these earlier, the whole benefit of this comes when we are truly authentic. You know, that's the only time this, you know, this theater and role play has a benefit. Otherwise, it'll just be some good fun time that we had together. So the way to do it is, I mean, it really uses as an opportunity. All the memes are existing within us, there's no doubt about it. And my understanding is to have healthy expressions. So if we can just take about 2-3 minutes and really contemplate, where does this purple meme live in me? So that's the first question. And where does the purple meme live within me? Where is it live? Where is it present? Which areas of my life? The second, I think, equally important question is, what is my reaction? Like, for example, when, you know, we were doing it and Bhavana was explaining it, I'm sure we can think of people in our own surroundings who, you know, act like that or coming from that. So what's our reaction?
So should we have a little bit of feedback also now?
Sure.
Any feedback? Like some comments?
Sure.
So you want us to contemplate it first?
Yeah, I think what I was thinking is, based on the time factor, I was thinking we should contemplate it first and maybe share with a partner. Or if you want to share it in the group, I don't know, it depends on time.
I think the group would be good.
Sure, okay.
But we don't have to take a lot of time if each person keeps their comments to under a minute.
Sure, okay.
What's something about presentation that you might not be clear? We understood that there are certain patterns which are coming to our life from this means. These are superstitions, repetition in this collective of those or superstition, knocking or spitting, or without any reason, but because it's some magic of some kind. And it should be respected, otherwise small creatures may creep in and spoil your vigor. Though we are all rational beings, we cannot be purely those purple beings. That's why they are homing in through other structures. And this is, of course, a very rationalization of the structure of some kind. Yes, that's the aim.
I think it would be interesting to see whether people could see that without you explaining it.
All right, sorry.
I feel that it's one of the most difficult things to express because it's somehow very, very far away. And I remember sometimes during my studies where I tried to get into the this Mediterranean prehistorical cultures in Sardinia and in other places, where only some stones and some ritual places are remained, and then go deep into it. And I feel that the way we are able to express it and the way we are able to visualize it are very unsatisfying to me. There are a lot of movies and books around these periods, like 10,000 years ago, or even Lord of the Rings and all these things. They're quite unsatisfying to me because they're always on this mindsetting of our modern society and of a rational our way to go to it.
1 minute.
And I don't know how we can, just a question I want to put at the end. How can we really experience this inside ourselves? I have my doubts about that.
That's why I was already addressing this issue. That we are not looking for pure presentation of a meaning because we can't. So we will have to bring it through other structures, and we have to recognize it as present in our already nowadays settings. We cannot play tribal society. We just can't.
I don't believe that. Because if we have it inside us, we have to dig deep enough and find it back. I think we could. Yes, maybe not totally purely.
That's what I mean. Not totally purely. That's what we try, and it looks.
Well, let's try. I don't know. Let's do what Arul is suggesting, and actually take a minute and try to feel it inside.
Well,
what we're already doing is staying up on.
No, we've already gone into the sharing room. Sorry.
I think the little portrayal was quite fascinating. If you would have had more, our problem here is that we just don't have enough time to really get into it. It's all pretty surface, so the subconscious. But I mean, from the point of view as an exercise, if you would have had a good hour, you'd find yourself quite steeped into that level of vitality and emotionality, which was definitely coming through. However silly or superficial it felt to you, something of it was happening in your eyes and your gestures. There was something of that vitality which is typical of this level, you know, cohesive. So it was happening. We saw it.
Good. That's 1 minute. Thanks. So I think if we can continue to do this, we'll have plenty of time. If everyone keeps their comment around, you know, the succinct commentary and not a lot of elaborate explanation.
Okay. Personally, from an Indian context, I guess it's very, very easy for me to connect with it. Simply because either we've grown with a lot of stories that we've heard. What I could connect with was the irrational beliefs or fears that were there right from childhood. And we tend to pick that up. It could be as silly as something that is probably a lucky charm that we keep, a sentiment that we keep, or something that we do just before we do an eventful thing or most significant event. So it's something that from an Indian context is very easy to connect with because we go with a lot of, do this, otherwise something will happen. And I see that in families where those things were not too communicated or not done, they grow out of these faster. And families where it's reinforced a lot, it kind of exists.
Yesterday, I was taking a taxi ride and we had to pick up some people at Simplicity. And a bus was coming through, so we had to pull in front of a house. And right in front of the door of that house was a lingam and a yoni on a stand with fresh red puja all around it, and all of the door of the house drawn in mandalas, right in front of the house, and quite a big lingam. And you can just, because I was so struck, boom, by that presence which was so absolutely primitive and magical. And you can tell, without asking anybody anything, that lives are fully invested in that ritual magic. And probably nothing is said about it, or very little.
Really interesting to hear from an Indian perspective, because as a Westerner, I feel very mixed emotions about this. Like part of me, when Bhagavan started turning away and they were all kind of pulled back, I had this visceral response of, ooh, like claustrophobia, you know, just being the mind of the tribe and no sense of just being able to really individuate. And that's been so much central to my life, wanting to individuate. But at the same time, there's part of me that also envies, in a sense, envies a worldview that is, I mean, I can see a lot of value that we've left behind in this, reverence for ancestors, for elders, rites of passage, you know, really being connected to seasonal cycles, a more of a magical, enchanted worldview. So there's part of me that yearns for that at the same time, because there's a real sense of belonging and meaning that I feel that I lost, and I feel like my dominant culture is lost.
For me, it was interesting to see how Lavana reacted when you were grabbed her and stuff like this. And she turned, and she showed something like being disturbed for some moment, and then there was coming this feeling of, oh, now, yes, I am sure here. I am one of this. And, you know, gives me the support in life. And connecting to yours, maybe this is the part we like to go, to overgo with our intellectual way and not accept it. This is also there. We also need this. That's what came out from you.
Could you come across first? I was also trying to check into Oroville. Like, what are the rites of passage in Oroville? What is the tribal mentality that one might come across if you come from the outside into Oroville? Often it's not so easy to reflect on that as supposedly an insider, as opposed to an outsider. But I have a sense there's quite some of that actually that we haven't really defined in Oroville, but these are unwritten expectations of what makes you an Orovillian and part of the tribe. And some of them might be very healthy, some of it might be quite unhealthy. The whole thing about our projections as a tribe on the value of Oroville in the larger world context. You know, how much superstition is there around that, and how much of a reality check do we have there in relationship to where we are, where the world is going. So, I don't know if it makes sense, but I mean, I'm not trying to answer, but I think there's valid questions to be asked there. If you want to apply this particular meme to Oroville's situation.
Shall we go on to the next meme?
Oh, not the inch.
So,
right.
Okay, it's 12:20. So we have
11:20.
I mean 11:20. We have 1 hour to spend on the next four. You know, so. 15 minutes each, including commentary. So we.
I think it would be good to have 10 minutes on the end to, how to say, sum up around that.
Yeah,
okay. Would be nice.
Okay. So the red meme is next.
It's a society in which everybody has to be sneaky, quick, powerful. Like it's all about getting what you can from the society because somebody else is going to get it if you don't. It's a more active form of this very, very fearful situation. And in this group also there will be pacts that people make in order to survive. And I would even say that's purple emerging in order to survive in society.
You mean red? You mean red?
Yeah. No. Purple tribe will arrive and will arise because it's transcendent included. So purple's still there, the tribe, which manifests in a gang or in a for a party.
I found in contrast to the first set with the I was drawn into the group, where this one I really felt my individuality. I was observing the chaos and I was trying to where do I feel comfortable? Can I align with any of these individuals? I realized no, actually I'm quite happy. I was keeping away. Well, where is my role? So I was actually looking after myself.
Yeah, I mean, actually for me, I got in touch with my reaction to this, which happens to me constantly in the interactions that I do in the world. The reaction is actually one of anger and a little bit of helplessness that comes up, you know, because I meet red like day in, day out in kind of, you know, work that I do. So this is a typical response that also came, you know, it's like a little bit of anger and it's like, okay, what do I do, kind of a thing.
I feel it develops from the other, like in the first situation we still have this abundance and then there are too many people or not enough things, then this attitude starts to arise. I will get short and I have to run for it and I have to impose myself to get what I need. And I feel it's a, some type of a development out of the number of people coming into society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, my sense was relating to it that there was connection between the people, but connection based on what? And a lot of aggressiveness in it that creates also connection, but it doesn't create trust. And on the opposite side of it, it also creates loneliness. Like, they're not together, they're totally all on their own. So, it's definitely not the way to go.
Ingo, what you said, because I couldn't find, I find it hard to relate to the to it in some way, but then I was reflecting on what you said, that maybe it's easy to think that we're at a certain stage when we have our basic necessities met, and what would it be like if we were truly fighting for survival? And I mean, even even if we're on an airplane crash or something, and it's literally, you have to get out that door, and we may, you know, who are the people who are going to trample over other bodies to get out that door? And do I know what I would do in that situation? Mm-hmm. So maybe truly we have to confess it, most of us in this room, or all of us.
She had her hand
up. For me, it was interesting that my reaction first was worrying what they are doing, what's going on. And then a sort of amusement came up. It was just the opposite of what other people felt. And I think it came out of the root that I saw acting people I know in different conditions, daily realities, acting out this part of themselves. And it was really amusing to see people how they can bully around other people, how we. And I felt, yes, okay, I think everybody has this part in itself. And it was interesting to me because before that, my normal reaction to that behavior was anger, like Aaron now expressed. Now I'm on a point I can be detached and use it and also accept it. So that is for me very interesting. I expected to be really angry and I want to go back from that. Now it's just different.
What was interesting is that what Sadhana said, that although that everybody behaves so individualistically, everybody needs everybody else. And that need to have somebody else, to bully somebody, to buy somebody, to pull somebody, to align with somebody temporarily for your own benefits, is still there.
Yeah.
It's again the same kind of collective relations, but on another angle, so to say, the edge, the red edge,
yeah,
of me managing others. It's still collective, and it's like an endless of some kind. You can feel this energy which is repulsive to everything you have. Yes? Because it is something in you which you can't relate to. When this movement started here, I was pushed out.
Yeah. Also, maybe just one thing to add to that. The sense also that everybody expects in this particular meme that everybody else is like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like there's nothing that will change it.
Yeah, the activation of the solar plexus, self-assertion, small s, is very necessary in sports, certain kind of sports, martial arts. In the field of psychology, yeah, when you, this is a completely healthy and normal function,
mm-hmm,
to compete, to fight, to assert oneself, to compete, to be hard and bullying and pushing. It's an integral part of the being. It's called fire. So, and it needs to be tamed. It needs to be channeled. It needs to be sublimated, but certainly not abolished.
Okay.
That life would be weak and pale without it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, I like the energy. I thought, oh great, same energy here. It's very stimulating.
Very interesting. In the first moment when I saw it, I said, oh my God, what is that? Oh, I have to run out. I cannot come with this long. And then I thought, my feeling was, it's just energy. And it's just also a vital energy. Maybe I should use it sometimes.
Yeah. It could be fun, huh?
Yeah, I like what you said. It's also about to integrate all this quality. What is the gift in it? And what came in my mind is, when I act, there's not at all fear. There's just really acting and being alive, and people who are sitting around and thinking about being involved, they becoming afraid of it. But the act by itself is just joy. And yeah, and it's a big quality, and also on psychological. If I want to go for something, I want to create something, I need this power, and yeah, it's something very, 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 very good.
So we need to move to the next meeting now.
Next meeting.
Thank you.
What color is it?
Blue.
Important was left out of the rest me, which I want to say. Oh, okay. It accelerates a lot the process of being aware and fitting to a society with less input and less income from outside. And it gives a quality to society moving faster. And I felt it was not said, and I feel it's very important that we keep this also.
I also had a what is left out from the blue representation, which is, it's very important, two very important things, I think, is that it...
Maybe if we would take a little moment from just forgetting it in.
Okay.
This meme has to come in, and then the illustration.
representation two important things. One is, because I've learned after having, I'll be personal, so that the conformity that blue puts on us, I've certainly learned to appreciate getting out of that. But at the same time, later, I'm really appreciating what blue does in containing the red excesses. And also, it takes a step where it there's law, there's scripture, and there's trying to organize in order to protect the weak. It's called dharma in here, or in this country, but it or law, the law. It's when Manu comes in, it's when Solon comes in. So it's, to me, that's a very, very important part of the movement and needs to be respected because it has a very important function.
For me, what was very striking, the similarity to the tribal one in the collective setup.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for me, actually, I'm very grateful for the seeing this chart of the me and we, because I always experienced that in the last 20 years, also in Ireland, I always felt like in our collective processes, we went through kind of like a liberalism and individualism. You know, first there was a strong communal element, and I think the pendulum swing is constantly going on.
Mm-hmm.
I have not yet, cannot say, maybe in a cycle of a few years, but I've experienced a few since I'm here. The emphasis on the individual and that everybody can do, and divine anarchism, and then suddenly collective housing, and absolute no possibility anymore for anybody to find a place and express something individually.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a... It was so obvious for me, you know, you have the tribal setup, then you have this self-assertive thing, and then again you have the society thing, and so it's very revealing for me.
For me personally, one of the distinctions that I find in this representation, which also had a lot of purple, you know, mixed into it, which Ron was saying, is that in the blue meaning, even as you're saying, there are certain truths, rules, and dogmas, and that's like even what is held together, like between the group, is the truth, dogmas, and rules more than the tribal mentality itself, because it is a progression. The blue meaning. So, you know, and from my own life, sharing from my own life, I see one of my major strengths that I have is a strong blue meaning. You know, from my own Christian upbringing and my schooling, there are certain rules and dogmas which still make a lot of sense and, you know, really cherish one's life. So that's my personal experience.
If you look at our actual situation in relation to the mother, Sri Aurobindo, and the ashram, and what has been projected for Aurobindo, which is so different from what was created in the ashram. What has been projected for Aurobindo is so different from what has been projected, from what it has been established in the ashram, that it amounts to a contradiction, actually. And it's very difficult, therefore, for those who participated in the establishment of that meaning to move out of it. And the consequence was that for 10 years there were no people from the ashram coming to Oroville. And even now they look at each other as practically opposite sides of the coin. And yet for Oroville to actually emerge into the next meaning is also extremely difficult because of the pull of that blue meaning. I would say that it's our biggest obstacle.
It's a strength and obstacle, actually. It's actually a strength and an obstacle, because I think it's also very important for my life.
Yeah, this opens up a whole can of worms to start saying what Oracle's main meme problem is.
You have to watch everyone.
Because it would be a whole discussion, so okay, it's going to open up.
Just the one thing that I noticed between the blue and the purple here was how the chairs raised from the tribal level of the earth to more of a suspended level of regulation, and just seeing that sort of separation between the earth and then this lifting up into a new sphere of order.
I have one comment similar to Indu's one. It's very interesting if you take a look at Shirdindu's dramatic work, at his dramas, they mostly portray, how to say, India in the red meaning how a forceful, energized, accelerated movement actually establishes the blue. How that is necessary sometimes if the red one goes for its impulsation, works for the good of it. It's very interesting for me because, I mean, in his work, if you think of his philosophic writing, that he emphasized on this human drama. And it's most, in most of the characters in Eric in Perseus, it's all this forceful, sometimes very forceful fighting for the Dharma, actually.
I mean, since we're talking about blue, I might be able to say something about the horror. My perception is more that there's a lot of green in Auroville, but often it is actually almost covering up a lot of red, renegade red, and renegade red can very well, and also orange can very well couch themselves into the vocabulary of green.
We're not in green yet.
No, but I'm just saying that. And so for my understanding, we have a problem with always referring to green while we're coming from different places. And that, in fact, blue would be able to stabilize and make that connection more fertile between red and what sits above blue.
I feel that as long as we have not deeply integrated one step, we cannot go to the next step. And the personality who wants to be green without having integrated red or blue or purple is just an empty type of a thing. Because the personality can only grow step by step, and as long as all the values of the step before are not integrated in the personality, then something is missing, and that's what I felt that already said is very true. If you pretend to be in the green, not having integrated the purple, the red, and the blue, and the orange, it's just meaningless and it has no purpose. So I feel what is very important for our work here maybe is to carry everybody to that state where he can integrate all the other states in his personality to become the real green or orange and blue.
If I understand Wilbur correctly, he is now saying that if a society as a whole is firmly established in, let's say, orange, then people from that society generally include and incorporate the previous one. They don't have to go through that process that you're talking about. Whereas in a society like this, which is just now emerging into the orange meaning, it has to go through that in order to get to the green. But those of us who grew up in the 60s in America and became greens didn't have to become oranges first in order to do that. So that's just something to think about. I believe that's what Wilbur is saying. So, is it time to move to the next meeting?
Yep. Please, there is one more thing. Can you read all these examples, maybe?
1 minute.
5 minutes.
We are
to say 1 minute.
We are
to
blue.
We are to blue. Please, a blue minute.
So the point is that when you read these examples, I can clearly see that they are kind of judged by the rational mind. All this structure is an expression of this rationality, and you can feel this judgment. I can't really help myself if you read Confucius, China, all this Islamic fundamentalism, and you understand what the person is putting it forward for us to see as this mean. But I object to that, because there is a subjective involvement of the person, which is another world altogether, about which we know really nothing with our rational view. So there can be something more to it to learn from this meaning. It has its depth, it has its sacrifice, it has this idealism of a higher kind where the person is seen as a representative of that idealism. It makes him grow, it makes him change from the red to something else, to that yellow in the future.
I'm glad you said that.
And that's how this easily can fall into stereotyping. And that's why we need to individually perform a deeper analysis and perception and possibly intuition of what's really motivating these expressions and find their value. Otherwise we can also easily move into a kind of stereotyping based upon the opinion of these writers. These authors. They've done the best they could, but it's still limited.
There was a good train coming back.
we keep coming back to that. We have to come back to that.
And there was a good train coming back.
Yeah. So, do we have an orange group emerging now?
Yeah. Have we started? Or?
Yes.
Aristocratic, you know, upper classy person who was just, I was doing my work, waiting for a drink and all that. And then, what were you? Just say
please. I was like a Wall Street, very important person in my own life. And, and just really busy doing my work, talking on the phone, coming to my laptop, and just looking at the waiter as somebody who was just here to serve me because I have an important meeting to go to in 5 minutes.
I was a rich woman coming in having her coffee.
Yeah, but you were also a beautiful woman. You were very attractive.
You
had a facelift. I was uplifted by it.
And the waiter appreciated
it. And you were the waiter.
I was the waiter. And. I was a little bit fed up of these people who always make like this, but it's my job, I have to do it. So first he was calling me and projected, like, okay, as long as I can stay away, I don't do the job, but then I had to do it. And then there came kind of this naughty lady, nervous and I know all these people are always coming like this, horrible, horrible. They want it yesterday, not today. And so I had to take order also from her. But then she came, and she attracted me. I I could come out, I could feel something also for myself, not only to serve these people. And so, I told her, she came left the last day, but I felt this is, I was recognized in some way. Mm-hmm. And
there was some sense of like, how do you express this this success of people when they are sort of like gathered together and there's another class involved, a servant of it, and the waiter. And that sense of entitlement. It's like, you know, we take our work for granted. So, but then you find out that every person does that, so they're still, of course, competing with one another.
This is very much a situation which we find we are things on the Riviera. It's something written here, also a situation which you find on the Côte d'Azur or Riviera. And we were approached by this image.
So societies prosper in this way?
Some people.
I couldn't help fearing that on seeing this one, that both this one and the previous one were absolutely green interpretations of the colors. That in both cases, they were showing the weakness of the social interaction, which is green's strong point, and the inequality and the hypocrisy and the conformity that's demanded. Mm-hmm. Whereas it didn't show, like, orange actually has some really important qualities, like of emerging from that blue conformity, of being very rational and wanting to, you know, like if the church can't explain that there's a God, then there isn't any, you know, like it's like, and it's a very important thing, and also the whole competitiveness is so important in orange. It's a toned down red, or an uplifted red, an elevated red, yeah.
And but blue, yeah. It has to emerge from blue,
and it has to emerge from blue.
You can see many elements of blue. So they describe three stages. You know, the blue orange, and the orange, and then the orange green, and so I think you could see a strong pull in this orange towards the blue. It wasn't dynamic and progressive and destructive and all the things that orange needs to be.
I think without the individualization of the orange, the next step cannot come. And it needs sometimes what Marx calls the avant-garde of the proletariat. It needs a group of people who are ahead and beyond the other people, maybe also in a type of a class where they have more things at their disposition, because only in this multitude the next step can develop.
Yeah. And without he should have shot all three of them.
Yeah, but he didn't understand that without that the next thing cannot emerge. So still this continuity and the integriveness in each person of all the former steps is indisposable, and also in the society development. If you leave out one part, it will be something incomplete.
There was an interesting perception of individualism, which was in the web more than in any other. You could feel everybody was individual. There was nothing among them except those formal relations they had to, because he has his job, and he's also frustrated with all these people. He's also individual. He has his individual likings and his likings, and you can see it in him. And it's very interesting that they quickly managed to show that in psychological. You brought it out. It was there. You could really perceive it, and it was very different from previous and from previous and from previous.
Yeah.
And the difference is perceptible.
Yeah, I like thinking in that respect, not to so much focus on each individual skill or performance, but to start from another field, and seeing that they are just maybe an interpretation, and that's okay, because they're so complicated. And it's interesting also that we took the first triple and then as given, if we were more critical of the moving around, because we have maybe more attached to it, or they're closer to us, or we feel more invested in those two ways. Maybe purple, then we think we long ago integrated, so we're not as critical. But I don't know, I like my thoughts on one to the other.
So is green ready to appear?
Say that before also, that I think there's a wonderful side to green, but there's also a superficial, or you could even a deep green side, whatever you want to call it, that sort of goes overboard with green and assumes that the whole world functions like that, and is surprised that the world doesn't adjust to that. And is surprised that we try to just live by those means, that we don't have enough organization or we don't have enough finances, there's a whole lot of things that are then just left to sort of a wishful thinking, because we're in a green, state of mind. And I think you very much need the blue and the other ones and the orange to have a foundation that supports the green. And, I was impressed with it because it reminds me of the early pioneer days when you were all planting trees. But we have a forest now.
You're ready to move on, are you?
So there might be something more on the horizon than that very wonderful green meme interpretation of those days. But I think there's still a lot of that lingering in present time in Oregon. But I might be the only one that has that kind of perception. So I'm very willing to accept that it's very subjective.
In comparison to the other two more collective emphasized things, that there was somehow the delight of the free choice, which in contrast to the other thing where there was coercion and forcing, there was kind of like the things and the possibilities of agreement where to plant the tree and stuff like this. So interesting again in this pendulum between the individual and the collective. It means that individual freedom that actually the collective can work more harmoniously.
Yes, that's what I saw in that's also what I noticed, like, from the beginning where red comes in saying, I just do what I want to do, and then the blue comes in to say that really it's not possible, you need to do it in certain order. And then the order is only to conform and to have certain character built in. And then the orange comes to say, okay, with the character built in, I would like my things as well, and tries to achieve as much as it can. And I guess the green continues to say, you can achieve what you can, but the crux is to do the right thing, which is psychologically sound, but doing it together. And that's how I see the progression.
Yeah.
Mm. What I very deeply felt that the green cannot be the end. There has something to come beyond the green. If development stops at the green, it's not healthy either. It has to go on to the next step. And I feel very much that we are some part of a society at the end of the orange, and some part also in Oroville at the end of the green. And maybe the other society has to turn more to the green. But I think to keep the avant-gardistic position of Oroville, we have also to go to the next step and not stay with the green, but develop beyond that.
That is an interesting comment, that without really development of orange and green would not make much sense. And I also think this is a big issue, when a green is taken for granted too soon, too early, by many people who didn't develop orange enough and didn't do their homework. So what happens, it becomes an artificial device, or kind of religious, ritualistic, and it falls back into the blue and even into the purple, because there was no orange development. Makes sense. The individualistic development has to take place, and mainly red also has to be exhausted. Even the borders of it should be seen, the boundaries of that development. And then only you can really step into another stage. Otherwise you will always fall back in your green to pretending. It's not real, and it feels as if it is on the edge of retirement, as if it is there, but it is as if not fully there. There is something in us we have to still do, and that's what he says, that most probably is not the last stage. And we feel we have more to do.
First time I came across this green mean notion, I was quite resistant, because it described my worldview, basically. And I thought, well, this is it. What's the problem with this thing? And then it was really eye-opening, because then I thought, I never really thought I had a worldview. I thought I kind of moved beyond having a worldview, that I kind of arrived, and we were the ones who kind of had it figured out, and we were the ones who had to educate those other people who hadn't quite arrived to this enlightened worldview that we share. And I guess what I realized through it, really, I find it fascinating, because humbling to realize, wow, okay, I'm at this certain stage, and I may be making forays into the next one, but still, I think my center of gravity is in the green, and how the green can be used to be, it can be quite dogmatic in its own way, and how I can still have those attitudes in myself, us and them. We the enlightened activists, or we the enlightened spiritual seekers, and those corporate people. And I even found how it can play out even in these skits. I mean, it can be quite amusing to poke fun at, even the way this is written bothers me a little bit, but to poke fun at those unenlightened people who don't share some of these qualities that I have. And that's where those people here who've said that, I mean, where I find value in this is to constantly be remembering and humbled by the fact that I carry all of these things in myself, and they all have value. And that will hopefully get away from this idea of us and them, this dualistic idea that we enlighten those people who need to grow more.
Yeah, when I'm listening now to the comments, I feel a sort of resistance to this mood, because I think maybe it's the overflow of feelings which are shown there, and the sharing of feelings, the sharing of caring for something. And this is just opposite, it was shown in the meme before, that maybe we have to realize that this is possible. This is not something which we pretend to do. If you have realized that one which was the predecessor of that stage. Because I personally don't believe you can realize that greening without having seen also the disadvantage of the orange. And the disadvantage of orange that brings us to the greening, to say, okay, rationality is not all we have. Environment development need care of all of us, and maybe in equal, in attitude of equality, and so on. So I think it's just showing quite clearly where we are stopping with.
I had another experience yesterday in my taxi. I need to take more taxi. I came back through on the Gomyakaliam Road, and I hadn't been down that way in maybe 2 years. Since I had my motorcycle accident on that road, I never went back there. And I saw that this Le Soleil guest house has come up, and this women's college has come up in our greenbelt. And so we have all this greenbelt there, but did we make the Le Soleil guest house?
No.
Did we make the women's college? No. Because those things are below us, right? We need to just preserve the trees. And in fact, Oroville cannot grow without that orange development. And yet, the mother's projection of Oroville and what drew us all here is the green mean. It's so clear to me that that's really, if you read anything that she said about Oroville, she's speaking about the green mean. But at the same time, we know that there has to be this force, you know, the idea of a descending truth force that integrates them is really what's necessary. It's not just the green meme. And so we're caught between the prospect of a new dynamic, energetic, creative consciousness and the old dynamic, energetic, creative consciousness, which is what really makes economies work. And in terms of our values, we're between these two things. We won't let ourselves go down to that good, solid economic drive, and we're not yet ready to ascend to that world consciousness, world transforming consciousness. And so, unfortunately, my perception is that we're just a bit stuck there in between.
Maybe not, because if you look at Oroville population, how it is changing. I talked last week with primary teachers in transition, and then they're like 85% are Tamil kids. And if you think that we actually, the whole community, more than a third of Oroville community is, how to say, is a different population, a different tribe within the community. And maybe I tried to see positive in this last half year. Maybe that's where. I was saying that many of the Oroville kids are educated outside of Pondicherry now. They are picking up and possibly are geared. And I tried, I said, okay, I'm going to trust Mother is behind it, all the creation, that maybe that generation and those people actually will manifest and bring that in the dimension of the orange. And make it more, how to say, solid. Because it is definitely, if you think organizationally, like many of us came with that green motivation, and we are beyond the tribe, or some comments from outside world is, we are basically failures in the world, because we didn't want to be in that business. So we never possibly went through this tribe and didn't integrate it, and are not behind it so that we can share it and educate the others for it. But so I think that will be interesting to see in our world as a balance and a possible integration.
One word, you all said that Mother was envisioning Oroville as a green
house. Also, obviously,
yeah.
Very much so.
Well, yes, it is so, but I think the vision was human unity over yellow. We were supposed to come up with the yellows in some way in the world developed, coming here to exercise something higher. But it falls back, yes. And all those ideas are, that's why they are looking as pretending. because they are just stepped down. The same great ideas, but on the more ground level.
I agree with you, and I feel also that Sri Aurobindo even goes beyond the yellow and shows us where the further developments could go later on. And I feel that's for me something very tempting in the daily life, not to be only where we are right now, but have in mind where the ride is going to. Because if I'm just in the here and now, it's very good and it's very nice. But then somehow I get petrified in the here and now also, if I don't know where the next step is going. And I feel something which is very much still missing in Auroville is this going beyond, knowing what will be the next and the after next and the after next step, not having a clue what it really is, but having it in mind and giving this dynamic of compulsion towards the future, which I feel is not strong enough yet.
I was reflecting just recently in a similar way about what Aurelio said, but in a slightly different angle, not to contradict what Aurelio said, but it's like, on what scale do I talk about us, Auroville? And my tendency is to talk about on a scale of the amount of people that are living here, 2,000 as members, of, you could say. But if I define that a bit more clearly, there has been a demographic shift. And the demographic shift is an influx of more members of Auroville coming from the local cultural background, you could say. And the question would be valid, as opposed to, let's say, the beginning of the 80s, when it was a very different demographic. What it does in terms of needs being amplified and being reduced in terms of the dominance in Auroville. And it's almost like saying, look, if you're in a partnership with your wife and you're on the same wavelength, you create an intensity of focus. But the increase in that your family structure with your children becomes more diverse and there's already more different needs at play. And then if you have your extended family and your township, so how do you define for an Auroville community at what level we are, you know, predominantly operating from which meme? It depends the scale that we apply to it. If we take into account the local villages or the bioregion and take it serious, that those memes are fully present in the field here, then where are you left with your evaluation of what kind of memes are predominantly driving the operations or the development of Auroville?
When I look to the architecture which is going on at the moment in Auroville, if we see architecture and art, it's always an expression of an cultural and consciousness state of a civilization. And now, what is going on here now? I ask myself, in which mean we are there? Mm-hmm. This architecture has, for me, there is no creativity, there is no fantasy, there is just nothing, it is just a copy of something which is going through everywhere in the world. Just a box beside a box beside a box. Is this the answer of what we had before in our room? Can we go ahead like this? Where we will be in a city of the future? When we go back in the architecture to something, in Germany we say a social housing. It's even less than this. What is coming up now? I don't know where we are.
I was
maybe a little bit also about looking at the whole exercise with it. I think it's quite interesting. I don't know for what reason, but that you said we don't need the beige. The survival instinct, the thriving instinct, why didn't we play the beige? Is it, it's not part of ourselves anymore? And I think that's where we, many times in our progress, we fall back, because I've been myself possibly in the situation in RV housing. It's just a, it's an amazing crisis. And if you, for instance, if you went through the process as a newcomer, you don't have your place and all that, it just touches the most primal instinct. Because you need shelter from the monsoon, and you need shelter from the sun in the summer. And so it's, that's why I find it symbolic that we didn't deal with that level of our existence here, and it comes so well through in many of the Arabic conflicts in the groups. It's just really primary, and it is about, how to say, it's about sex and shelter and all those things. So if we are not aware of, we're not integrating that, it's very easy to camouflage it through our clean outlook, basically, and give it its place and gentle it down. But I think it's very much so within the community.
There's a principle in spiral dynamics which Sri Aurobindo intuited, but he didn't develop and make a big thing out of, but it's also hidden in the, these concepts. It's coming through. And this is the idea that there's a feedback going on between the collective spiral and the individual spiral, and the memes are communicating with each other, and sometimes there's a downward movement and sometimes there's an upward movement, and it's necessary. His point is that the once there is the emergence of something like the orange or the blue, it's necessary then for it to turn back on the previous and integrate it, impose upon it, and raise it up, and incorporate it, so that and if we haven't done that, if you know, it's difficult for green to have that relationship with orange if orange is not fully developed. You can't bring it up from non-existence. In the West, we can do that because the whole orange base is established, and so the green can influence it and transform it, and then there's a possibility to rise into the yellow, and then more and more people who have that more holistic energy can transform the green. But the problem with this idea of moving beyond and beyond and beyond and saying, well, Sri Aurobindo saw something different, I think is a huge risk, because if our green meme people keep saying things like, we can't have democracy here, we can't have economic development here, we can't have businesses here because we're too green for that, and we're just looking up to the new holistic light, and they're not willing to turn around and value democracy and value competition and individualism and all of that, then we're not incorporating into our growth all that potential which is around us. And you've got all of these guys from the villages shouting, you're not incorporating our energy. You know, can't you see that we have all of this potential? And then we think, well, we don't want orange, so these guys must just be coming from the red meme. And, and you know, how are we going to deal with that? So this being stuck in the green is largely due to our unwillingness to turn around and embrace that which is below, because we think it's so important to be looking at that which is beyond and beyond and beyond.
But the architecture is not coming from the green. And this is the things which are going
on. No, but the green architecture should be imposing itself upon that orange. What I see in the architecture is just a remnant of Western capitalism.
Yeah, but
and all the Indians communities around here are just eating that up. You know, because they don't have that, But there's no sense of the environment and of quality and of function or anything else. It's just imitate the structure.
It's interesting. I feel that we can not really come forward to the next with this spiral dynamics, because I felt some danger in the whole thing. There is something else needed beyond the spiral dynamic, and I feel the thing that beyond that is needed is a type of integral psychology who is not related to one of the colors, but who is around everything, watching it and interpreting it and giving the people the hold in some way to integrate the different parts. And I think that this attitude from looking on it from outside, which we did today, is maybe a start for a new science, which I feel is very important if we don't develop this science in our university. And we turn inside the spiral, we will be very limited and very narrow-minded. And I feel this adjustment from the... Also what we did last week with the observer, this constant observing and reflecting and observing and reflecting, and then also go back to the thing that turns, but not only stay there, but also go a step backwards and look on it. What is going on there? I feel that I felt very deeply today that we have to develop that in our
university. So, Lajmi, you want to have the last word because it's almost 12:30.
Well, maybe not the last, but a small word. I'm very glad that you made this observation because you covered certain topics which I wanted to address also, that our projection is much higher, and because of that, yes, very often immediately in the green. Yes? We are kind of in the green from the very beginning, but it is not really true. And that is the whole issue, and you addressed it very well. I would not repeat the same thing. We didn't develop really enough. I'm, for example, for my red, I don't like it. I really don't want it. And I want to avoid it every time, and every time I'm facing the situation with red in my life, how to be good. How is to be good and to be looking good, to be speaking good, to be thinking good. It's a projection of something on me too soon, when I didn't grow yet in those developmental stages before. And I think it's a very valid point, and maybe we have to see it, how to develop it in the university in a more conscious and more civilized manner. We don't need to really to exercise it.
Avoid that red.
Yes. To develop it, or for example, Mikhail is doing this exercises.
And I want to come to that. I want to come to that, that a little bit of planning ahead soon. So would you like to have the last word on this?
Well, I was just wondering if did we make, or was there a decision made not to include the ACOL of Ken Wilber, the all quadrant, all level?
No, we just haven't gotten there yet.
Okay, but that's coming, coming in. Or?
It's coming.
It might come.
So.
I would like to add something, because I think might be there's some misunderstanding about the word or the imagination of the spiral. We talk as if you would speak about circular levels, but not about a spiral. If I take serious this image of the spiral, there's automatically integrated every stage of development because it is a pathway, and we cannot disconnect one from the next. It's absolutely impossible in my thinking. So I would think we could even try to go study from the higher mean, let's say, like Sri Aurobindo said, we have to let come down the force, not pushing from downward up. To use the green mean, now we ended there, to see red, orange, blue, and so on in a different light, and to bring up the positive quality of them, to stabilize green, and then maybe go on, then we have integrated everything. It's just, I got stuck with this level thing. I think it's not a level. It's just an imagination.
So I would like to facilitate that movement you're talking about with a few suggestions. In constructivism, we believe that people learn best through being active. And so this session today was an opportunity, presumably, to learn a little bit more about developmental psychology through role-playing. And so that, you know, that theory of learning, constructivist theory, means active learning. And in our early plan for this series of seminars, we spoke about two stages of the becoming familiar with the developmental paradigm, and then starting to become familiar with universal principles which come from the higher plane of consciousness, and then to have an experience of different modes of expression. So in our list of different modes of expression, we mentioned graphic arts, ceramics, music, architecture, psychological practices, and the suggestion is that we can start to incorporate these concepts, these images, and experience where we are in relation to them through art, for example. You could express through spontaneous ceramic art, for example, any of these means. You know, masks and beautiful spirals and star shapes and, you know, all kinds of fuzzy, warm things, you know, if you want to get green. So another suggestion is that through movement, through body movement, we can become more attuned to our own expressive levels and those of others. And so one of the reasons why Mikhail is here is because he's willing to facilitate some movement and body work with this group. And there are others. We have musicians here, and we have artists here, and we have psychologists here, and we have philosophers here. So we really want to start to move into other forms of activity with the idea of understanding better and better the concepts of developmental psychology, so that the activity, the purpose of the activity, is to know better the concepts that, and the realities that they represent. So this becomes an integral exploration. So for next week, one of the things that we want to do is be sure that we've grasped these fundamental concepts and are experimenting on ourselves with how they feel and what they are. So Mikhail, would you like to follow up next week with
the concept,
with these concepts,
sure,
through movement?
Sure.
And then I would like for someone to start thinking seriously about Gebser, because Gebser adds a whole new dimension, Jean Gebser, the ever-present origin, the deep psychological understanding of these superficial psychological concepts that we're dealing with right now. And then finally, that would be like the next 4 weeks. And then the last 4 weeks, we would embrace more completely Sri Aurobindo's integralism, and hopefully get closer and closer to where we really want to be. So this, I think, is the most superficial level. And, you know, Wilbur's paradigms can easily come in through Gebser.
We need Gebser.
So who, who has enough of a grasp of Gebser to make a presentation a week after next? An introductory presentation.
I can do it also.
Thank you. Good.